This is the Geek Speak Show Book Club. In here, you'll find books new and old, comic books, graphic novels, anything you can read, which will interest you if you like this show. Welcome to the Geek Speak Show Book Club.
Yes, it's back. For a couple of reasons, I needed to bring back the Geek Speak Show's most popular feature from the first run, the Book Club. The first reason is because all of you, the listeners, I often get emails or messages asking if the book club's ever coming back. Sometimes when I meet you at conventions or live events, that's one of the questions you always ask me. Hey, what happened to the book club? Well, nothing happened to it. It's here. It's back. The other reason that I brought it back is because my co-host, Sean Klan, he's a constant reminder that the younger generations don't read. Well, they read texts and memes and other distractions, but they don't read books. Not all younger folks. Some do love reading books, but they're the exception. Definitely not the rule. So because of that, the book club is back as a regular feature on the Geek Speak Show. For those of you that are new, the book club it's not a place where we all gather and read and discuss whatever book we're reading. The Geek Speak Show's book club features sci-fi, fantasy, horror, paranormal, because they are different, and any other book that's related to geek culture. That includes comic books and graphic novels and magazines. I mean, you read them, don't you? When possible, I'm going to feature the authors so they can talk about their own books. So for the first book club for Volume 2, I do have an author to tell you about his book. Books, actually, plural, as he's written a series of books. Let me introduce you to Greg Sorber. He's the author of the Mechaven series. Welcome to the book club, Greg. How are you?
Hi, Henry. I'm doing really good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So you get to be the first one on the return of the book club. So let's start at the obvious. Tell us about the Mechaven book series. What's it all about?
Sure. The Mechaven book series starts with Pax Machina, the machine piece. And basically, I like to call it Transformers meets Braveheart. And it's about a group of mechs who've been fighting this long war throughout, you know, I think it lasted 7 years or something. It's really all these different factions from around the galaxy have been fighting this war. They've been destroying each other. And so at the end of the war, they come up with this Pax Machina to take care of the sentient robots, the mechs. And what they're going to do is they're going to disarm them and send them to live in peace on this remote planetoid, kind of get them out of the way, take them out of people's minds, and they're kind of there on their own with a couple of human caretakers. And so they're there, disarmed, living in peace, and a super advanced mech from behind enemy lines crash lands on the planet. To stay there, they have to declare Pax Machina and be disarmed. The only problem is he is one giant walking weapons platform, and they can't disarm him. Then the bad guys come looking for him, and the rest of the mechs on the planet and the humans, they have to figure out how to defend themselves and this top secret mech that crash landed. How do they defend him, and how do they defend themselves from an enemy that's basically been designed to destroy everything they ever thought of?
Yeah, the first question that comes to mind when I hear all that is, why is this just a book series, dude? I could hear a TV show, even a movie, maybe a series of movies. I mean, like, why is it just a book series, first of all? But you mentioned Transformers and Braveheart. Were those the only influences, or did anything else influence the story that you created?
Oh, wow. So that's a couple of good questions. Why is it only a book series? Well, I think just because I'm new for now, and I would totally love to see something like this as a movie, as an anime, as a comic book series. I think those would be all good fits for this type of a story. The other question is about influences, Transformers meets Braveheart. The Transformers part comes from my younger son is a super big Transformers fan, and he would always be playing Transformers Prime cartoon in the background when he was growing up. So, and he would like to watch the Transformers movies. And so I'd always talk about the shows, and he would talk about the movies. Sometimes we would usually talk about what we liked or didn't like about the movies, especially the Michael Bay ones. And so I started thinking in the back of my mind, well, okay, why don't I write a story about robots? And what was really funny about that was we were both like, yeah, there can't be any humans in it either. And of course, as I start writing the story about robots, I realize, oh, shoot, I really do need the humans in the story kind of for the character development and the emotional touch points. And so I did end up bringing a lot of human characters into the story. So it's a kind of a cross with some humans, some robots, how they all interact and the consequences of kind of war, basically. As for other influences, I'm a big Star Wars fan, have been since I was 5 years old. So I love the kind of the space opera and adventure. And so there's quite a bit of that in the stories also. But I don't get too deep, no mystical magic powers in this. I'll save that for when I write fantasy.
Yeah. See, and the fact that you called it a space opera shows you that, yes, you are one of the OGs. I was there also. I was 4 years old when I first saw it in theaters. So yeah, I've been there from the beginning. I even have a t-shirt that says it. So it has to be, it makes it official, I guess.
You and me both.
Yeah. No, but going back to what you were saying, I talked to a lot of authors on the show who say that, and filmmakers and people that are just starting the career. That's always their answer to why isn't your thing a thing that we're all consuming yet, like a movie or TV show. And they all say, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just so and so. Nobody really knows about me. I always tell them, I'm telling you the same thing. Always remember, George Lucas was also once a film student before he was George Lucas. So was Spielberg. So was everybody. Everybody has to start somewhere. So don't ever sell yourself short. Always be proud of what you do and let people say, hey, yeah, look, my stuff is good too. You just haven't heard about it yet.
No, that's a really good advice. And I do. I go out to the shows. You met me at WonderCon. And, you know, for me, I just love talking to new fans and people about the books, telling them the same thing about the stories, getting them interested. And what I think for me, one of the best feelings in the world is when you see somebody's lights change from, I'm not sure about this, to, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just finding the right people at the right time.
Yeah. I'm not that old. I'm not 900 years old, but I love doing what I do, talking on radio, now on podcast. I love meeting up and coming filmmakers, writers, you know, whatever I meet, because then I can say I was there when I knew him at the very, very beginning. They don't always remember me afterwards, but I'm just saying, at least I was there at the beginning of their careers. Now, you mentioned your son influenced some of the stories. I'm assuming him. Who else did you have in mind when you were writing the first novel? Or I should say, who's the ideal McHaven reader?
Oh, wow. Well, definitely kind of in hindsight, as I'm wrapping up, about ready to wrap up the series, I'm working on the fifth book right now and should be done with it in the next week or so. You know, obviously younger kids, I would love, you know, seventh, eighth grade, ninth graders to be able to sit down and read this book. And I do know that it is getting harder and harder to find young people interested in reading. So I do think that's going to be kind of one of my calling cards over the years is to really make sure the young people don't lose sight of reading being a viable entertainment option. So there's that. And then I kind of did it for myself. I started reading a lot in probably sixth and seventh grade, back in the early 80s, I believe is when that was. And so when I was that age, I just devoured fantasy and sci-fi books, comic books, regular books. And so that was kind of my thing. And so I do believe I wrote it for my past self. And also thinking that, obviously if it's something that I would like, then, hopefully a lot of other people would like it as well.
Yeah. That usually is how things work. If I like it, again, going back to what I said a minute ago, let everybody know, hey, yeah, you just haven't heard about my thing yet, but you can be one of the first. But yes, I love seeing that also when I see people at different conventions or live events get that. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Greg, that look in their eye that says, yes, I've been looking for this my whole life. So yeah, I'm not a writer, I'm not a filmmaker, but I love seeing that. than other people. I get that sometimes too. Now, you mentioned a little bit that you, before we started talking, that you have an idea for some other ones. So I'm assuming, does that mean that you have an ending in mind for the Mechaven stories or no?
So the current Mechaven series, right now there's four books. I'm working on the fifth. The fifth one will conclude this version of Mechaven, or this portion of Mechaven, that story. I do have some ideas for some prequels and some novellas to kind of fill in a few holes that I want to tell some stories about. I do have an idea for kind of the future, if I ever want to go back to it, how to continue it on. But my my big project that I want to hit next is fantasy. That was kind of the first thing that I ever wrote in seventh grade. My first short story was a fantasy story. And so now I kind of want to get back to that. And I've got some ideas. Matter of fact, I have covers paid for already for four books and a novella. So the ideas are kind of been bouncing in my head for quite a while. And I've been like, no, I have to focus on Mechaven, have to wrap up Mechaven before I start on this. So that's kind of where the next phase is going.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, because kind of like, do you say manga or do you say manga? The last, I would say in this millennium for sure, since about 2001 to now, fantasy, people have a different idea what fantasy actually means. It could be, you know, we all think of as fantasy. Harry Potter fit into that also. Some other things fit into fantasy. When you say fantasy, what does fantasy mean to you?
Oh, that's a really good question. For me, fantasy is Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Sword of Shannara, the whole Shannara series, The Wheel of Time. That's kind of more on the more epic side. There's the Belgariad by David Eddings. So I'm kind of looking at somewhere in the midst of kind of adventures. You know, I also go back to like the old Sinbad movies, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, those type of movies. Those were kind of watched those over and over when I was a kid. So mine are kind of not quite as epic as The Wheel of Time and Lord of the Rings, and kind of more leaning towards the adventure-y side, because I definitely want them to be fun. I do want there to be big stakes, but I don't necessarily want the books to be 300,000 words either. I want to keep them, you know, I want to keep them readable. And I want to, you know, like I said about Mechaven, is I want to contain the series. I want them to be, you know, 3 to 5 books each, and then you wrap up a storyline. And if you want to go revisit that world, that's great. Start another 3 to 5 book series.
Yeah. So if anybody's wondering, and I'm sure they are, where can the listeners get the books right now?
So the best place to get the books right now is Amazon. You can go to the Amazon webpage and search up Greg Sorber or Mechaven. Either one of those can get it. Or you can go to my website at gregsorber.com, and that'll take you to the links there also. However, if you're going to be at any shows in person, mostly in Southern California, I'll be at Pasadena Comic Con. I'll be at Ontario Comic Con Revolution. And then in November, I'll be at Author Nation Rave, reader and author event in Las Vegas.
Okay. And I have a link to everything on the show description for all you guys listening. Now, the last question, what I want to wrap up with is not really about the books, but just you, Greg, as an author. I know I have a lot of listeners who want to be filmmakers listening. I also know there's a lot of them who want to write a book. They've been thinking about that book and how to start, where do I start? What advice would you have for any of them who are thinking, how do I start writing my book?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good question. I think if you have the idea you want to write a book, you've probably been a consumer of stories your whole life, probably. I'm making that assumption. You've read books, you've watched TV shows, you've watched movies, whatever it is, you've consumed stories. So I think that's important. You have to have a good foundation of story in your mind. Yes, you can learn about it academically, but I think internalizing story yourself over the years, you kind of have an idea of what you want to do. And then really the next step is just to sit down and write, and you'll probably not like what you write at first, and that's okay. But what you want to do is you want to get used to writing as much as you can, as often as you can. I don't think you have to do it every day, like some people said, but the more you get into the routine of writing, the more it sticks in your brain and the more of a habit it becomes, and then the easier it becomes. And so you want to write, and you want to write as much as you can, because the process of taking the story from your brain and putting it on, you know, the computer, is harder than it sounds. And so it takes a little bit of work to learn how to do that, efficiently. And then you want to keep doing that over and over again. And you really want to finish your stories. So maybe don't start off with that big, super 300,000 word epic fantasy. Maybe start with a story about one of the characters and practice telling that. Practice telling those, get those down. I was really surprised. I always was like, I'm going to write this novel. And then after you write the novel, everybody says, oh, you know what? You need a novella to give away for free to sell your novel. I was like, oh, wow. And so then I did it. And so then that's only like maybe 15 to 20,000 words. And I was like, wow, that's a lot easier. So maybe start with that, practice that, but you want to practice finishing what you start. It's okay to quit, but don't try not to make a habit of it. Finish what you start, because the key to writing, I think, is one is writing, but two, you need to go back and revise what you've written, because it's one thing to get the story down, but it's another thing to go back and make the story good and refine it. And that's where you can really, in the second or third draft, that's where you can really shape the story and make it awesome. Because it's hard to get it perfect when you're first writing it. It's hard to be so precise, so exact that you remember every little detail or you hit every action sequence perfectly. But then when you go back and reflect on it, that's when you get to really make it good. It's kind of like in a movie, I'm assuming you shoot all the stuff and it's not perfect. But then when you go back to the editing room and you can chop it up and you can trim out the bad stuff, put in the good stuff, do a reshoot, that's when you make it awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my advice is consume stories, start writing, finish writing, and then learn how to revise. Those are super important.
They are. And I was going to say that's great advice. It's also one of the hardest things to do for people that describe themselves as geeks or as nerdy, because I meet a lot of them in person and, you know, they want to be filmmakers, they want to be actors, they want to do something in the public eye. But the biggest problem they have is, I don't like how my voice sounds, or I can't watch myself on camera. Well, like Greg just said, you better be able to, because that's the only way you're going to be better. Yes, I know we are our own worst critic, but that's also how you improve. So got to balance it out. And again, great advice on that. So thanks a lot, Greg, for being the first guest on the book club. Now it's back for everybody. Yes, it'll be here weekly now. And Greg, you're welcome back on the show anytime.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate it. Thank you for all your support.
Enjoyed that interview? You can find more like it at thegeekspeakshow.com. Speaking geek since 2010.